Good morning. Welcome to our worship today. The focus of our service today focuses on faith. As our faith grows, there are obvious benefits. The comfort of knowing that we're redeemed and a loved child of God, and the peace of knowing that our eternity is secure. But also an increased faith increases duty. And that's what Jesus speaks to us today. That he wants us to take up the responsibilities of an increased faith that gives to us. The believer knows that we serve the one who came to serve us first, and just as Jesus' service brought him great joy, so does our service done in his name. We begin our worship the same way we were baptized, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart, and let us confess our sins to God our Father, asking him, in the name of our Lord Jesus, to grant us forgiveness. We say, Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I've done what is evil, and I failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Take comfort in these words of our Lord Jesus. Jesus says he has sent me to announce forgiveness to the prisoners of sin and to restore sight to the blind, to give mercy to those whose lives are shattered by sin, to announce the favor of the Lord. God gave his only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins and rise from death to give us eternal life. We are forgiven. We live in the favor of the Lord. Amen. We pray, merciful God, may your Holy Spirit direct and rule our hearts, for without your help, we're unable to please you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God then. Our first lesson is the Old Testament lesson from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In faith, the people of Israel understood that all of their wealth came from the Lord, so they joyfully embraced the privilege of donating generously to the construction of the Lord's temple. We begin reading at verse 1. King David said this to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The work is great because this citadel is not for a man. It is for the Lord God. According to all my strength, I have provided these things for the house of my God: gold for the gold items, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wooden, onyx stones and settings, stones of many different colors, every kind of precious stone, and alabaster in abundance." David blessed the Lord in the presence of the entire assembly. He said, "Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel, our Father from eternity to eternity. To you, O Lord, belong greatness, power, glory, victory, and majesty, because everything in the heavens and on the earth belongs to you. You, Lord, are exalted as head above everything. The kingdom belongs to you. Riches and honor come from you. You are ruling over everything. In your hand are power and strength. It is your power to make anyone great and strong. Now, our God, we are thanking you and praising your glorious name. Who am I? Who are my people that we are to able to offer willingly like this? For everything comes from you. What we have given to you came from your hand. We are aliens and temporary residents before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow. There is no hope of staying. Lord, our God, all this abundance, which we have provided for building the house for you, for your holy name, is from your hand. This abundance belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart. You take pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. Now with joy, I see your people. who are present here to bring the offering freely to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, preserve forever this purpose and way of thinking in the heart of your people. Direct their heart to you. This is God's word. And we hear a reading from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Paul says to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We are always obligated to thank God for you, brothers, as is fitting, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love that each and every one of you has for one another is increasing. So we ourselves boast about you and God's churches in regard to your patient endurance and faith in all your persecutions and in the trials that you are enduring. This is evidence of God's righteous verdict that resulted in your being counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you also suffer. For this reason, we are always praying for you, that our God will make you worthy of your calling and use his power to fulfill every good desire and work of your faith, so the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, in keeping with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's word. And with that, we turn to our message for today. The word of God recorded for us in Luke chapter 17. I'll read this lesson as we go along in the sermon. What does popcorn and yeast have in common? Well, a little goes a long way. A little is all you need. You put a little popcorn seeds at the bottom of the kettle and a little oil, and you heat it, and you get a whole kettle full of popcorn. And the same with yeast. Yeast, put a little bit, and you'll have a big loaf of bread. A little is all you need. What's true of popcorn and yeast is also true of faith. And that's what Jesus teaches today. A little faith goes a long way. A little faith is sufficient. A reading comes, I said, from Luke 17. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do so, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. This is God's word. Faith, a little, goes a long way. First of all, in the way we live. When I was a young kid, my thumb got caught in the car door. And ever since that happened, my thumbnail just doesn't grow back straight. And for some reason, I find myself picking at my thumb. There's a little bit of indention in that thumb, and I don't know. It's just so out of habit, I think, that I find myself picking that finger. It drives my family crazy. I don't do it intentionally, but it does disturb others. Well, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. Jesus says, whatever things there may be, things that would cause someone to stumble in their faith, they're bound to come. Through words, maybe, through actions, we could disturb the faith of others. Maybe even mislead others to sin. We don't do it intentionally. We do it because we're sinful. That's not an excuse, but it is a reason. And Jesus said, if we do those things that cause others to sin, especially younger ones who are not mature in their faith, it truly angers God. The Lord says it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And so Jesus says, watch out that we do not do that. So how do we watch ourselves? How do we watch the way we live? Well, we do so by remembering that a little faith goes a long way. Our faith rests on God's almighty power. And through that power, God enables us to lovingly treat others, just like a parent would lovingly treat his or her child. Parents will never intentionally do something wrong to their children. We as Christians will never do anything to intentionally cause others to sin. A little faith goes a long way in the way we live and in the way we forgive. Clicked on the computer this morning, and what pops up is this little story about a 73-year-old man. The article read, a 73-year-old man waited more than 50 years to carry out his revenge after being bullied in school. The South Dakota man was sentenced to life imprisonment when he pleaded guilty to the second-degree murder of his former classmate. Wow. Talk about holding a grudge. Talk about having a hard time forgiving. Well, like that 73-year-old man, we sometimes have a difficult time forgiving. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Hostility between a husband and wife, between brothers and sisters, and classmates, and friends, even fellow Christians. Let's face it, it's hard for us to forgive. There's that really nasty side inside of all of us, our old Adam, which relishes holding on a grudge. I'm not necessarily going to do it, but sometimes you just play around and buying a new vehicle. And so you check the website and it says, build your own vehicle. That's kind of fun. But when you do so, there are so many options that can go along with the standard equipment. You can have the option for a bigger engine. You could have the option for a liner in the back of the bed of the vehicle. So many options. Well, Jesus makes it clear that forgiving others is not an option. It's standard procedure for Christians. Verse 4, even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't keep score. It doesn't hold out conditions. It doesn't classify sins. Forgiveness doesn't make people grovel or beg. Forgiveness forgives. It's unconditional, no strings attached. And it is repeated over and over and over. As long as a person is sorry, asks, we keep on forgiving. And here's why. verses 5 through 6. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And Jesus replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it'll obey you." A penny is something very small, but it's something that's backed up by something very powerful. Behind that penny is the power of the United States government. And it doesn't matter if it's a penny or a dollar or $1,000, it's backed up by the power of the government. The disciples looked at their faith like we look at a penny. We often look at our faith like it's just something that's very small. Jesus was telling his disciples, he's telling us to look at the power that backs up the penny of faith. And whether it's a penny of faith or a dollar of faith or $1,000 of faith, not the point. The point is the power of God. Our faith rests on the power of Jesus, the power of the gospel, the power of the cross, the power of Easter's empty tomb. The power of the gospel forgives all our sins, destroys our guilt, shatters our death. The power of the gospel gives us a new life of faith and a future life in heaven. We can forgive because the object of our faith and the source of our faith, the power of our faith, is Jesus. A little faith is sufficient. A sufficient faith to forgive. And not only does a little faith help us to forgive, it also helps us serve. Verses 7 through 10. Jesus says, "Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty.'" In these verses, Jesus is addressing two problems that, as Christians, we have when it comes to serving. We want perhaps a pat on the back, and sometimes we need that little gentle kick in the backside. According to Jesus, we shouldn't need a pat on the back. When we serve, we often want to get noticed. But Jesus says no. To put Jesus' words maybe in a more contemporary setting, let's imagine paying our electric bill. When you send your check to pay your bill, do you get a letter back from the president of APS saying, "Well done, super job, you paid on time, keep it up"? No, we pay the bill because that's our responsibility. And serving Jesus is our responsibility as Christians. Just like forgiving, serving is not optional. It's a duty that comes with the gift of faith, a duty we perform willingly and gladly, doing the best we can. And Jesus also recognizes that because of that sinful nature inside of us, we sometimes need a gentle kick in the backside. If a Christian doesn't roll out of bed in the morning, he or she does not need more faith. They just need to roll out of bed. If a Christian isn't giving the best of his or her time, talents, and treasures to the Lord, they don't need more faith. They just need to prioritize the material blessings God has given to them. What do you say to a child if he or she is not studying and getting poor grades? "I wish you were smarter"? No, you would say, "I want you to study more." The problem is not a lack of faith, it's a lack of action. The action on the cross motivates our action. The cross's love motivates our love. The enormous power of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection fuels our little faith. We have forgiveness. We have life and salvation because a long time ago, Jesus was willing to take upon himself the role of a servant. And now Jesus calls us to serve. Not because it's going to look good on our spiritual resume. Not because we're going to be praised for it. We will serve because that is who we are. And that is what faith does. A little faith goes a long ways. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us collect our thoughts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given to us. We ask that you would help us to remember that as we grow in our faith, we grow in our love to serve, to give, to love, to care. May the cross of our Lord Jesus always motivate us to give that willing service. Lord, help us to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Lord, help us always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us for the reason for the hope that we have. Lord, help us to set our hearts apart for Jesus. He has done marvelous things. Help us to tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. The Lord has made his salvation known. He's revealed his righteousness to the nations. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.